Okay, and our next presenter is Shua Yang. She is a recent undergraduate who graduated from the University of Berkeley, and she has experience working with the Hmong community, and she is currently applying to nursing programs, so we wish her much success in her future. She's going to talk to us today about the development of effective tools and teaching customer skills for the Hmong community in California.
Okay, good afternoon, everyone. Thank you, Patsy and Barbara, for helping also with this research project. Okay, so first, who are the Hmong? The Hmong are a very culturally distinct and unique Southeast Asian group. They were thought of to have originated from China and migrating to Southeast Asia because of conflicts, such as their unwillingness to conform to the dominant cultures. With the rise of communism years later, the U.S. had sent soldiers to train Hmong guerrillas to oppose the Vietnamese and the Placid Lao communists. After the U.S. troops pulled out the war in Laos, the Hmong were left to defend themselves. Hundreds and thousands died not only during the war, but also in their attempt to flee for safety to Thai refugee camps. The Hmong are privileged to be in the U.S. because they served as allies to the U.S. during the Vietnam War. And so by December of 1975, the U.S. then began to accept Hmong refugees from the Thai camps. And although the largest Hmong refugee camp closed in 2004, it is still not unusual to find newly arrived Hmong refugees from Southeast Asia here in the U.S. And then in 2000, the U.S. Census reported roughly 186,000 Hmong in America, with California having the largest Hmong population, followed by Minnesota and Wisconsin. And although these are the top three states with the largest Hmong communities, there are also many other smaller groups scattered across the United States. So the culture and tradition of the Hmong people. Hmong families are organized by clans, meaning they are grouped by their last names. There are roughly 19 known clan groups. Families are also patriarchal, meaning the family is under the authority of the male head of household. And within the language are many dialects, with the green and white dialect being the two most prominent. Religious orientation includes animism, which is the belief that natural objects have souls existing apart from the body, followed by Buddhism and Christianity. So much of the research completed within the Hmong community has been done in parallel with programs supporting the improvement of health and health for low-income youth and families. The Expanded Food and Nutrition Education Program, also known as FNEP, is one such program. FNEP actually focuses on improving the health of low-income youth and families with young children via practical lessons on basic nutrition, healthy lifestyles, resource management, and food safety. FNEP is a federally funded nutrition education program operated through land grant projects in all of the 50 states. And so in past research with the Hmong, interactive, hands-on, and graphic materials were indicated as the preferred choice in delivering information to improve the health of Hmong youth and families with young children. In developing the tools in this particular research project, we looked at the Hmong population and their transition to the U.S. in terms of their health and ability to financially sustain themselves. So this research project involves the development of an effective tool used to teach consumer skills for the Hmong in California. The tool was then integrated into FNEP's curriculum as part of the Plan, Shop, and Save for Healthy Meals lesson. And this particular lesson was critical to several other FNEP lessons in that understanding the concepts within the Plan, Shop, and Save for Healthy Meals lesson impacts both choice and accessibility to healthy foods such as fruits and vegetables, proteins, dairy, and grains. So the hypothesis of this project is that there is a lack of culturally appropriate tools to deliver effective messages regarding nutrition, especially meal planning and food shopping for the California Hmong. And again, this project addresses the area of food shopping. So why do we work with the Hmong community? Well, reasons include, one, the high poverty rates among the Hmong, two, language issues, including low rates of Hmong and English literacy, 3, exposures to westernized styles of eating without proper education on the health risks. 4, lack of practical information, including resources on healthy eating and healthy living. And lastly, issues around culture, with lack of understanding around the American food marketing system, customs, foods, and how nutrition affects one's overall health. So the foundation of this research project was built on phase 1, which was to identify the issues in acquiring nutritious, reasonably priced foods acceptable to the Hmong. And results from this phase, phase 1, built on to phase 2, which was to develop and evaluate related educational tools and techniques to address the issues presented in phase 1. So in phase 1, a questionnaire was developed to explore the needs around food shopping. Participants were recruited from Sacramento through community service organizations. The numbers of years that these participants had been living in the U.S. range from as little as a couple of months to as long as even 23 years. Upon completion of the interviews, common themes and summation of results suggested that finance indeed affects what foods are purchased. Overbuying and overspending are the biggest challenges, and that these were issues because many people were unfamiliar with U.S. money system. For instance, budgeting is an issue since many do not know how much money they have or even if they have enough money for the month's groceries. In addition, locating grocery items was a foreign concept since many were unfamiliar with the conventional layout of a grocery store. For example, in countries such as Laos, it's not uncommon to find all foods displayed together. Market ads and sales were not familiar or useful to the people, and there was no usage of a food shopping list as typically used by Americans. So the results from phase 1 provided the contents for phase 2, and the identified topic areas included writing a food shopping list, looking at grocery ads, planning ahead to save both time and money, remembering to bring the grocery ad to the grocery store, and checking the sales date and prices on the grocery ad. So these identified topic areas provided the content for the video, which we titled Plan, Shop, and Save. The video cast was a Hmong mother-daughter duo speaking in Hmong. The video was then integrated into the FNIP lesson titled Plan, Shop, and Save for Healthy Meals, and the video itself was evaluated within the lesson. So to sum up the characteristics and components of FNIP lessons, they are usually led by a bilingual health educator trained by the university from the community. They are learner-centered, meaning solutions are generated by participants to answer challenges and needs of participants in group discussions, often led by the trained educator. They are interactive with healthy food demonstrations, and the classes are usually made of 8 to 12 people. Participants set their own goals to adjust the skill range since every individual is unique in their age, ability to read and write in both Hmong and English, and also their ability to understand both terminology and concepts. So why did we choose to use video to teach consumer skills for the Hmong in California? Well, what we found through previous research studies was that participants have been more receptive to visual demonstrations versus verbal explanations. There is better conceptualization with physical demonstration, and there has also been a great number of positive responses to the use of Hmong characters using also Hmong dialogue as seen in this video. And so we then evaluated the video using a California food and behavior checklist developed by the USDA. The food and behavior checklist was then translated into Hmong and slightly revised to be more culturally appropriate. These questions evaluated whether or not participants actually made a change after the delivery of the 5 FNIP lessons, which included the Plan, Shop, and Save for Healthy Meals, which in that lesson included the Plan, Shop, and Save video. So of the 14 questions from the food behavior checklist, the 3 that focused on the specific parts of the video included questions such as, do you think about what foods to make ahead of time? Do you compare the prices of the foods before you buy it? And do you write a list of things you need before going to the grocery store? So we found from the 49 people who participated in this study a 92% positive change in one or more of the food behavior change questions. Comments we received from the participants indicated that they had enjoyed the video because it included Hmong characters, Hmong dialogue, and issue topics that were relatable and identifiable. In addition to the results, community health educators also provide the following information from their learner-centered discussions. In the case of being unable to read and write in Hmong or English when trying to make a grocery food shopping list, have a child assist in the writing process at home, and then have the child go with the parent or whoever's going doing the grocery shopping, and instead of writing, mentally plan what food items are needed from the grocery store prior to departure, and supplement the plan, shop, and save video component of the lesson by physically taking participants to the grocery store. Although there was a high percentage of positive changes among the participants, we did experience some limitations. For example, the food behavior checklist is a national standardized instrument. It was developed to be used with low-income Americans and not necessarily recent immigrants. It has been adapted and continues to undergo changes to improve effectiveness in documenting behavior change. The video also was used to prompt problem-solving discussions in Lesson 2 and not used as a standalone. And although we got a lot of feedback on the video, it's difficult to assess how much of the effectiveness is actually related to the tool or method versus the educator, learner-focused teaching method, and other components of the curriculum or a combination. And in serving the community, it's difficult to isolate the research in the nature of community work and working with a program such as FNEP. The Hmong are learning about so many different aspects of the American lifestyle, from foods to dietary patterns that are new to them. And so in conclusion, cultural relevance is key in effectively improving the health of low-income families with young children. Videos, as found through this research project, are effective tools in teaching consumer skills, especially for the Hmong community. A culturally sensitive approach is also essential in addition to awareness of literacy levels. And in many situations, as especially seen in the Hmong community and Hmong language, it's often difficult to portray the same image or even convey the same concept when directly translating from English to Hmong and vice versa. Therefore, it's important to support translation with visual demonstrations. So what are the next steps? The next steps require a multi-state level involvement to test the efficacy rate of adaptive curriculum. This includes the use of video clips as educational tools. Further work is also needed to develop appropriate evaluation instruments for not only the Hmong, but other non-English speaking groups. And finally, the Hmong serve as a prime example of an ethnic group that continues to undergo severe changes in lifestyle and culture. The Hmong are also very distinct and unique from other Asian groups, such that they have their own language, lifestyle, cultural practices, and diet. And this project would have not been possible without the FNEP team, the participants, and also the research institutions. Thank you. You mean,
repeat the question.
Sure. So I think your question was, did we have to take the video to get approved by the elders of within the community because of the patriarchal system? Was that your question? So we actually presented this video in FNEP classes. So the people there were actually wanted the help. So they wanted to see the video. So it wasn't an issue. To where they kind of question us and our authority of coming in there to show the video. They actually were really receptive and they wanted to view the video, so I don't think that was an issue.
So if I were to try to replicate this in my community, how would you suggest going about that?
Do you mean which community?
Your video and using the tools that you've developed,
Of, you mean the Hmong community or just any, the Hmong community? Okay, so, well, our steps were actually, the way that we went about it, it came out to be really successful. I would say to definitely involve the community. It would be preferable to go to people who are already respected individuals, whether or not they hold a position, like working for FNEP or working for WIC. I would say to start off with that and then slowly go into the community that way. Because people, I assume that people who already are participating in programs such as WIC and FNEP would really want the help and also to see the video. Patsy, do you want to answer that question? Yeah. Physical activity. Okay, so her question was, had we looked at the current toolkits in Minnesota, where there is also a good number of Hmong people there? We actually did look up the websites. I don't remember what the website was called, but they did have really good information. But the ones that I saw in particular were geared towards, I would say, people who had a little understanding of English. And so with our video, it's for parents, for people who don't have any, who don't speak any English at all. And so the target group, I would say, would almost be different. But yeah, we did actually look at Minnesota to see what kinds of work have they done in terms of using video as a method to teach. Kathy, do you want to answer that question? She's the director of the FNEP. Group of people where the children often are Okay, thank you.